I want to discuss in greater detail the miracle that we celebrate on Hanukkah. Right, we're all taught from a time where small children that what is it that we are celebrating on Hanukkah? What miracle? Anyone want to volunteer? What miracle do we celebrate? It's the miracle of
3 days.
That little flask of oil that was supposed to only last for one day lasted for 8 days. And that is the miracle. And at first glance, it seems, although we've heard this since we were children, very puzzling. Right? Imagine it was a bit different. Imagine it was springtime. And the Greeks came to Jerusalem around Pesach time and made all the matzah, chametz. And there is one piece of matzah in the entire community. And that piece of matzah somehow fed hundreds and hundreds of Jews, and they were all able to observe the mitzvah of matzah. Do you think we would make a holiday for that? I mean, how many people would even partake of that matzah? At some point, it's a bit gross. Right? When do we find this idea that we celebrate an opportunity to do a mitzvah? I mean, the mitzvah of lighting the menorah is certainly a beautiful mitzvah, but to make a whole entire holiday simply based on the fact that we were able to do a mitzvah for 8 days, it's very puzzling. And I'd like to investigate that with you this morning and hopefully emerge with a deeper understanding of this wonderful holiday that's upon us. And we find in the liturgy that we often recite on Hanukkah that indeed the Nes Pach Shemen, the miracle of the oil, that little flask of oil lasting for 8 days is emphasized. But not only is it emphasized, it's emphasized in a strange way. Take a look at source number one. We're on page number four of the booklet. So hopefully this particular excerpt is familiar to you. It's Hanira Salalu. My friend, Chavrusa, and colleague will elaborate on this particular piyut in the next shiur. So the piyut says, Hanira Salalu anu madlikin, these candles we light, ahanisim, manaflos, laishchuas, hamochamos, upon the miracles and the wonders and the salvation and the war, that you perform for our forefathers during those days at this time. Okay. Al yidei kohanecha hakadoshim, through the holy priests. What is that line doing here? It's unclear even what it means. What does it mean that it was through the holy priests?
But weren't the oils, the vessels, sealed by the Kohen Gadol?
Good. So it was sealed b'mura b'chotamo shakohen gadol. And that's important. We'll get to that in a second. Thank you. Thank you for that. But in addition, you could have suggested, well, the Makavim were Kohanim. Right? It was Matis Yahu Kohen Gadol. But what if he was a Levi? Would that have changed anything? And we think of the Makavim, who were they? Were warriors. They liberated Jerusalem from the oppressive Greek armies. Does it make a difference that they were Kohanim?
Well, they're the ones who liked the menorah and the Beit HaMikdash. I mean, no, a lady couldn't.
Why? I don't think them ladies. That's true. That's certainly true. I'm not denying that's a good observation. But why is that important to mention when we're talking, thanking Hashem for the wonderful miracle, the Pach Shemen? What is the relevance of the Kohanecha HaKadoshim? It's true. Ezer, what's that?
Perhaps there's a connection or a bridge in that way between the lighting of the menorah being our Hanukkah celebration for the elements of the war that were won. Meaning we're celebrating the war won by the Kohanim with what the Kohanim do.
It's an interesting point that sort of instead of, you could say, is instead of seeing the Makabim as these warriors, these fierce warriors, you could see them as priests who lit the candles in the Beit HaMikdash. So it's certainly a good point. These are all good points, but I'd like to, yes.
Could we not say that it was in the merit of the Kohanim that the oil was found, or the miracle happened?
You could say such a thing. What is the source? It's very possible. Again, these are all wonderful suggestions. They just don't seem to be too fundamental to me. Like, why is that so important? Those are great interpretations of the line, Ayadei Kohanecha HaKadoshim. Wonderful. I just don't know why it needed to be mentioned. And it's so important to know that it happens to be that it was because of the Kohanim that we found the oil. I mean, ultimately, the point is that we did find it.
If the Maccabees are fighting against the Hellenist Jews, so the fact that they rose up against what was happening meant that the miracle was perhaps in their merit.
So what if it said Ayadei HaMakabim? Then I would be totally okay with that. It refers to them as Kohanim. It doesn't even tell us that there was those Kohanim. Fair? Okay, we'll take one more suggestion before we... Yes?
Maybe a suggestion of the inner fighting between the Kohanim, because there were three different sects, and each one had a different spin on it, and the rabbis ruled that Jews should only go to the shuls. They shouldn't go to the Temple Mount only on the high holidays and go to the synagogues, because of the inner fighting between them.
So if it were up to me, I would try to not talk about the inner fighting when I was talking about Hanukkah, right? Why would you want to highlight the fact that we were ripping each other to shreds when we're thanking Hashem for the miracle of the Nes Pach Shemen?
Well, we don't have a Megillah of Hanukkah. This is like a reference to the inner fighting that we have to look into.
Okay, interesting. To reference inner fighting. Okay, so so far we have two questions I'd like to study. Number one, the general question of what is so miraculous or wonderful about the Pinyas Pach Shemen, of the miracles that have happened to our people? It seems to rank pretty low on the totem pole. The fact that the oil lasts for 8 days. Number two, why emphasize the kuhuna? And we can keep all these different approaches in mind as we continue. If you take a look at source number two, this is an excerpt from Moshe Sor, a very commonly sung song after we light the Hanukkah candles. And this particular stanza is the one which actually relates the story of Hanukkah. And source number two says as follows. Yivanim nikbetzu alai azai bimei chashmanim. The Greeks gathered against me then in the days of the chashmonaim. Ufartu chomot meidalai. And they breached the walls of my towers. Vitimu kol hashmanim. And they made all of the oil impure. Minotar kankanim naasanes lashoshanim. And from the remnant of the jugs, a miracle was made for the roses. Roses referring to the Bnei Yisrael, Shkishoshana ben Achochim. The Jewish people are referred to as a rose amongst thorns. Bnei binaya meishmana kavush shir urinanim. And the people of understanding established 8 days of song and exaltation. If you take a look at this excerpt from this piyut, the tragedy, the challenge of the Greeks that the Jews had experienced at that time is summed up with the phrase, Timu kol hashmanim. What did the Greeks do? They made the oil impure. Doesn't that seem to be a particularly small focus? The Greeks did a lot more than just make the oil impure. It's not like they went to the temple, ignored everything else. No, they kept them, we'll keep the Aron Kodesh, we'll keep the Shulchan, that's all good. Let's make the oil impure. That's not what they did. They ransacked the entire thing. And it wasn't just the temple. They went around the entire Jerusalem. They didn't let us do mitzvot. It was horrific to really just focus on that particular point that they made the oil impure. Now, I'm sure as you're saying, well, that's what's relevant, because it was because of the oil is impure. That's why they couldn't do the Nes Pach. That's why we couldn't light the menorah, which highlights the Nes Pach Shemen. But the emphasis on this impurity of the oil is something also I'd like to shed a bit more light on, pun intended. So we go to source number three. And here in source number three is the Gemara in Shabbat, page 21b. This is the most probably well-known Gemara about the Nes of the Pach Shemen. It's our source for why we celebrate Hanukkah. And again, it highlights both these elements, the impurity of the oil and this aspect of kihuna, of the priesthood, as it was involved in this miracle. My Hanukkah, says the Gemara. What is Hanukkah? Tanur Rabbanon, b'chaf hei b'kislev, yimei d'chanukah, t'manya inun. There are 8 days of Hanukkah, beginning from the 25th of Kislev. D'lola mitzvot b'hon, d'lola mitanot b'hon. And so as to not eulogize on those days, or to fast on those days. She'kishenichnisu yevanim lehechal, for when the Greeks entered the courtyard, or the sanctuary, Timu kol hashmanim shebehechal. They made all of the oil in the sanctuary impure. Right? So that's the Timu kol hashmanim that we saw in source number two. Ukisha gavra machut beit hashmanah even itzchum. And when the house of the hashmanim overcame them, baku velo matzu lepach echot shel shemen, they found only one flask of oil, which was placed with the seal of the Kohen Gadol. As was said before, this reference to the fact that the one jug was sealed with the seal of the Kohen Gadol. And it was only enough in that, there's only enough oil in that flask to light for one day. And a miracle was made. A miracle was performed. And they lit from it for 8 days. And then the next year, they made these 8 days a holiday of thanksgiving and praise to God. And again, this focus on the priest. The impurity of the oil. And my question is there something deeper here? Beyond just the fact that they couldn't light the oil, and they happened to find one flask, which also happened to be which enabled them to then do this mitzvah. So in source number 4, we have a teaching from the Maharal. The Maharal was Rav Yehuda Low from 16th century Prague. A tremendous Torah scholar who had mastery of all elements of Torah. He, beyond being the halachas of his time, the Maharal is known for his esoteric wisdom and his explanation of many passages from Chazal, from the sages, which are very difficult to explain at first glance. And I'd like to mention in particular that the well-known story or fable of the Maharal and the Golem that is actually, if I'm not mistaken, was originated. I know that Rabbi Rosenzweig, he should live and be well, was a former rabbi of the shul, and I believe his wife's grandfather is responsible for that fable about the Maharal and the Golem. I don't know if it's true, but they don't say it about you and me, right? So clearly, the Maharal is pretty impressive. So the Maharal here tries to explain the deeper meaning beyond this Gemara. And I'd like to try to spend a few minutes examining his words. Says the Maharal, V'da'od, and no further. Ki hayavanim hayu mitamim et ha'echal. The Greeks made the sanctuary impure. Shekach koach yavan, that is the power of Greece. Befrat, specifically, litamos ha'echal yoter mikal umot. That Greece specifically, Yavan, is uniquely qualified to make the Hechal, the temple, impure. V'siman l'davar Hechal ola b'misro samachay, v'yavan misro samachvav. Hechal, if you add up the numerical value of the words, hey yud, the letters hey yud, chaf lamin is 65, Yavan is 66. So as to represent the fact that Greece has this unique power to make the Hechal, the temple, impure. Maharal is known for this, for making a lot of significance from the numerical value of things. Maharal is also 8 days of Hanukkah, that 8 represents the Malam and Ateva, beyond the level of nature. So the Maharal says the 66 versus 65 is significant here. L'ro ki yesho koach, the second line here, to show that yesho koach gover al-Hechal, mitameh al-Hechal. That Yavan, that Greece, is overpowers the temple and impurifies it. And therefore they impurified all of the oil in the temple. Vidafka shmanim ki ashemen shmimenu haor yesho koach bioter b'mashimenu haor. That oil is very powerful because light emanates from oil. That oil is the source of holiness. They used oil to sanctify, to anoint the vessels that were used in the temple. Before they would use something in the temple for the temple service, they anointed it with oil. So it's significant specifically that even this holy element was impurified by the Greeks. Even in this, the Greeks controlled and they impurified all the oil. And only one flask was left, which was placed with the seal of the high priest. Although the Greeks could overpower the Hechal, but not the Kohen Gadol. Because the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen, is a higher spiritual level than the Greeks could access. That is that the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, entered into the interior of the Holy of Holies. That the Kodesh HaKadoshim is a higher level than the temple, right? We know that if you walked into the temple, there was a chatzer, there was a courtyard that was in front of the temple. When you go in, the first chamber is called the Kodesh. That's where the menorah was and the shulchan was. That's where most of the avoda inside the Beit HaMikdash took place. And if you go further, there was another chamber. And that was the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies. And only the Kohen Gadol could go into the Holy of Holies. And that, says the Maharal, the Greeks cannot reach. That's why the Greeks couldn't make that last flask impure, because they couldn't reach, access this level of the Kohen Gadol. Kohen is 75, Hechal is 65. So Hechal and Kohen are the same, except for one Yud, a little Yud that has a numerical value of 10, separating the Hechal from the Kohen. That little holy yud, that yud, which is the holy of holies, that the Greeks couldn't reach. And that's why there was one little flask with the seal of the Kohen Gadol, which the Greeks couldn't reach. So it's all clear now, right? Very clear. 100% understandable, makes perfect sense. You had the shemen, that's holy. But the Greeks were more powerful than the holy oil, and that they were able to make impure. But the Kohen Gadol, the flask sealed with the seal of the Kohen Gadol, that they couldn't reach. That's it. We all understand everything. It's perfectly, perfectly sensible. And of course, that's not true, right? The Maharal, you read this and you're like, that sounds inspiring, but what does it really mean? What does it mean that the Yavanim cannot reach this flask? All they needed to do is touch it. They need it. It's not that difficult. What does it mean? What is the spiritual level that the Maharal is referring to? What does it mean that they made the oil impure? In what sense is it holy? And in what sense is Greece particularly capable of making the temple impure? So for the remainder of the time we have together, I'd like to try to explain this Maharal. I think it will make our understanding of the Nes of Hanukkah that much more profound. So number one, what is this idea of the oil and the holiness, the sanctity of the menorah that the Yavanim were able to defile? If we take a look at source number five, the Gemara Menachot says as follows, V'yishlach Yoav Tzkoa v'yikach misham mishach hachama. Yoav sent to Tzkoa and he took from there a wise woman. Ma'ishna Tzkoa, why did he send for this woman from, why was she hachama? Why did it specify she was from Tzkoa? That the people in Tekoa, who were regular, accustomed to preparing the oil, the olive oil used to the Beit HaMikdash, that gave them a level of wisdom. And that's why she was Nisha Chachama from Tekoa. The wise woman from Tekoa, why? Because the oil of the menorah is associated with a level of Chachma, wisdom. You turn the page, take a look at source number five. Here again, the Gemara in Bava Batra says that we associate the menorah with chachma. We associate the menorah with wisdom. It says if you want, while you're praying, to gain a level of wisdom, what should you do? You should turn toward the south. A person wants to gain wisdom, they turn toward the south. Why? Because in the temple, the menorah was in the south. And therefore, menorah, which represents the wisdom of the Jewish people, if you want to gain that wisdom, turn toward the south. So we see that beyond the physical manifestation of the menorah, the candelabra, the oil, on a spiritual level, the menorah represented the wisdom of Klal Yisrael. The ability of the Jewish people to think, to contemplate, to analyze, to dig deep into the depths of Torah and to come out with a greater understanding. And if that's so, it follows, then what was it that the Greeks were able to make impure? What did they defile? They defiled our intellect. They defiled our cognitive faculties. They defiled our thinking, the way we think and what we do with our ability to think. And if you take a look at source number seven, this is in the Pachad Yitzchak, the work of Rav Yitzchak Kuttner. This was his life's work. Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, the prominent Rosh Yeshiva in 20th century of in New York. And he says here that what the Greeks were particularly interested in defiling was the unique place of the intellect, the seicha, in the Jewish spiritual persona, that we shouldn't think, says Rav Huttner, of our minds as just another tool. We have five senses: we smell, we touch, we taste, we hear, and we also think. And then that's the same as the others. Says Rav Huttner, the seichel, the koach haseichel, the ability to think and reason, is a spiritual koach. In Rav Huttner's language, it is not a sense of this world. It is a stranger in this world. Our brains, our ability to think, is really from another world. And it happens to be here to allow us to live a spiritual lifestyle. That we should see our ability to think as there to uplift our lives and make it holy. And what the Greeks were there to do was to say that no, instead of using your mind to uplift the rest of your life, instead of using and dedicating your physical capabilities toward your mind and toward your soul, the opposite should be true. Use your mind as in a way that you can maximize your physical experience. Use the mind to make sure that you have the most physical pleasure that you can. That was the attack of Greece. And we see it, even in nowadays, this idea that humans are no more than a composite of cells and flesh, and that's what we are. There's nothing more to us. We're machines, and we can use our minds to live a more pleasurable life, but that's all we are. That's the attack of Greece. It's the exile, he says, of the Torah, Eitzal Shar Chachmot, to take the spiritual wisdom and just say it's another discipline. We can learn Torah because it's interesting. It's intellectually stimulating. But not in such a way that it makes us a greater connection to the Ribono Shel Olam. It's simply interesting. And that was the attack of Greece. And therefore, what is it that they impurified? This idea of being gover over the heichal? It is the ability to impurify our minds, to take the most spiritual element within men, within mankind, that unique ability to think, and to say that also is just physical. That also is not holy. How does that have to do with the Beit HaMikdash? If you take a look at source number A, and this is a theme in many, many Jewish sources, that the human temple, the body, humanity, is another Beit HaMikdash. And the Maharal himself, who we referenced earlier, says this as well. Take a look at source number 8. There are many different creations in the world. Nevertheless, among all of the creations, God specifically chose mankind. Then humanity is chosen from all the other creations on the land. There are many places in the world, and there is one place that God chose, and that's the Mikdash. One creation among many, that's the chosenness of man, and one place among many, and that is the chosenness of the Beit HaMikdash. And just like he gave man a soul, which is a spark of his glory, so too, Hashem illuminated in the temple his honor and his glory. That the Shekhinah, the divine presence which resides in the Mikdash, also resides within each and every one of us. And that is our soul. That's what it is. The spark from the Ribono Shel Olam. Therefore, the holy temple, which is sanctified to God, is completely comparable to the human, where the honor, the glory of the soul resides. This equation between Mikdash and Adam, between the temple and man. And the Maharal elaborates on this, and he says that there are different levels. There's a Machaneh Shekhinah, Machaneh Yisrael, and Machaneh Leviah. There are different camps that you needed to get to approach the temple. There is the Machaneh Yisrael, where anybody could go, and then the Machaneh Leviah, where the Levites would reside, and then to get to the temple is the Machaneh Shechina. And so too, he says, in humankind, there is our physical capabilities, and then there is our emotional capabilities, and then there is our intellect. And the intellect, the mind, the seichel, that is our Machaneh Kehuna. That is the Machaneh Shechina. That is the holiest place within ourselves. And he talks even about the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that within the mind is another unique quality. And so Rav Kook here in source number 9 says that that's what the Yevanim made impure. The Greeks made the mind. Even the mind was impure. But that's where we get to the Pach Shemen. What is the Pach Shemen Munach Bechatamosha Kohen Gadol? What is the Tzadkan Nutz? What is the, who is the Kohen? There's the Pintaliyid, the spark within each Jew. What the Baal HaTanya, the first Chabad Rebbe, referred to as Ahava Misuteret. There is a unique element, a spiritual element within each person that's beyond our intellect, that's more fundamental to our soul than even our mind, that is inaccessible to the external elements, that no matter what a person does, no matter what sins they've committed, each person has a spark of holiness that's so deeply ingrained within your soul that it will never be implicated. And the Baal HaTanya explains that's why you have people who are so, the rest of their lives, divorced from Judaism, and when they're given the opportunity to either forsake their religion or give up their life, they choose to give up their life. Why? Because that's, at that point, that spark within them is activated. That spark within them is activated, and that spark cannot be divorced from them. It's always there. It's this love for the Ribbono Shel, this love for Torah, and all that it stands for. And says Rav Kook, I just want to, because we're running out of time, I want to share some of it with you. Take a look at the bold. Hatshuka, it's the fourth line. Hatshuka ha-pimit, l'kdusha ha-chayim, l'dat ha-torah lech b'drachaha, higenuza me'omek ha-lev Yisraeli. The inner yearning for a holy life, to know Torah and to follow its paths, is hidden in the depth of every Jew. The general kahuna, the kahuna which generally expresses itself in all the ways of our life, was impurified by Greece. Even further deep within the heart of a Jew lies the light of the Jewish soul, and that in there is hidden the internal connection of every Jew. That within us there's a spark, and that's the Pach Shemen Munach Bechotamosha Kohen Gadol, the spark within every Jew. Well, no matter what happens, no matter the assimilation, no matter what they've done, they are connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that is what enables the light of Hanukkah to last for 8 days. And so as we accept Hanukkah upon us, to know that no matter what we do, no matter what we have done, there is a spark of holiness within each of us, a spark within each of our souls. So may it blaze and illuminate Hanukkah and all of our lives. Thank you very much for listening.